I'm going to start you being on point, or are you going to start and I'll stop you?
No, no, no. We're not qualified to tell Sue how to move everything to the event horizon.
Oh, right.
Just change your question, Sue.
Yes, of course. Okay. In my wanting to move everything off the table to the event horizon, is there a more effective way for me to do this?
You bring in the metaphor of the black hole at this point?
No. No, we're going to go to her damn garage. Okay?
Okay.
Your garage got so packed up with crap that you couldn't stand it no more. Kind of like your palsy.
Yeah.
Okay? You've done everything. You've moved it around. You've done this. You've done that. And now it's like, to hell with this. I'm done. You ain't got a little chair, and you ain't got a box, and you started piece by piece by piece, and you sorted that damn shit that you should have thrown away already anyway. But you had to go through it because it was things that might be important, and you didn't know, so you sieved it.
And I'm still not finished.
Well, neither have you moved everything to the event horizon. But that process, now notice here.
Mm-hmm.
In your garage, you're sifting, but not necessarily throwing it all away. You could just call somebody and say, take everything in here and take it out. But that wasn't the fastest path to your joy. There might have been a token or a trinket or something that was important to you. So you go through it and sort it.
Yeah.
And then you organize it. You may bring things even further into the house. But some of that stuff, you're going to say, get out. Go to the Goodwill or to the charity or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's that process of how you clean your garage. How do you move things out of your garage? Well, depends on what it is, okay? If it's just a box of clothes and you know nobody's going to want them and you don't either, blah, 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 that's a big thing. Move it to the side, get it out.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a box full of pins and trinkety things that you really got to look at, that's something you focus individually on and sort.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying you have to throw anything away.
Right.
We're saying you just move it to the event horizon until you decide.
Okay.
Now, that helps a little because that's an action process. Now, listen, that's an action process that does nothing about cleaning out your garage.
Yeah.
When you've been piddling with this shit forever and you still got a garage full of stuff.
Right.
See, that. So that's really not an action. That's just sieving.
Right,
as
moving
it were.
It around, yeah.
Because you can have that garage cleaned out in 1 minute. Make a phone call, it's gone, it's out of here.
Yeah.
But that's not what you're talking about. You want to sort it to decide where to put it.
Mm.
That's a better way to play with this right here, right now. Because we could just say, get everything out.
Mm-hmm.
Good. But there's parts that you're going to want to look at a little closer and sieve. Same way you clean out the garage, same way you sort it, sieve it, and then decide and move it. And once you decide to move it, then you got to find a place for it. And if you don't have a place for it, then it has to go somewhere else. And that's how you move things to the event horizon.
Hmm. Wow.
Got it?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
I have this thing. I'm sieving. This was Grammys, Grannies, Nannies, Whammies, whomever, whatever.
Yeah.
I can't separate from this. I must have this decided. Then you go into your house and you go, holy shit, my house is worse than my garage. I got stuff on stuff on stuff on stuff.
Mm.
It's all in its right place. It's all real pretty and I like every bit of it. There's no geographic location for this thing that now I must keep that I don't have place for.
Right, right.
So that's when it kind of comes in. Then you're maybe deciding to move something else so that would fit, potentially. You see? But that can be done easily, quickly, fastly. Fastly.
Fastly.
Or fastly. Fastly. Or you can take your time and sieve it out to suit you. And that's okay. Now, Carolyn.
Karen's gone.
Okay. So does that mean we can go off the chains now? So, the simplest way to, at the first stage, is wrap yourself around this thing and move it. Now that's the distance. That's the 4 and 20 elders in Revelation.
Yeah.
The elders are the sieves.
Ooh.
Okay. You're saying the elders are the event horizon?
No.
Where the sieves got to do with the event horizon?
Nothing. Stay on point or get Callum back.
It's part of the process of moving whatever it is to the event horizon.
Based on what you decide, that's correct. That's correct. Now, so it's very interesting here because we're applying this. If y'all listened very closely to what she had to say, she didn't push against the thing. She didn't say this is uncomfortable, I don't like it, it's painful, it's itchy, it's I don't like having this look or shape or blah, blah. I don't want people to think a certain way. But she didn't say any of that shit. She says, I got an itchy thing on my hand and my foot. And I want to move everything, whatever it is this is, to figure out the details so in my singularity I can be, do, or have whatever I want to be, do, or have. And I don't even know what it is exactly I want to be, do, or have. But when I do, I want to.
Right.
Okay. See, but she didn't go into these gross details of the malady, because it's not a malady, it's just the process. And she doesn't see it as that. Therefore, just like you've moved it around your body, different places. Well, we say if you're able to move it around, you can move it somewhere else.
Right. So you talked about the tube and the compression. Are you talking about the tube as the tube in that
we're
I am?
About, we're talking about the largest organ of your body.
Ooh,
it covers the biggest part of you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the skin on an airplane, isn't it?
Right.
Good.
And it does protect you from the world.
So does the skin of that airplane.
Right.
Well, or that pretty stout aluminum casing.
Mm-hmm.
That's Canadian for aluminium, y'all.
So this is not a valid menu option.
And just sieving stuff out of the labyrinth of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But now don't just sieve it, because you're quite the organizer. Mm-hmm. You'll make boxes of boxes of boxes of boxes of boxes. You're good at this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't compartmentalize it to such a degree that it makes you even crazy.
Yeah.
Because you can just go, okay, I have 100 boxes that I haven't gone through. Now I've gone through these, and now I have 200 boxes. They're smaller, but I have 200 boxes.
No.
Well, but you see, but you go, no, but it's organized now. Oh, okay. Well, I know I'm going to use this, and this fits here. Bam. Out of the way. And those little boxes are easier to manage than those great big boxes. So that's okay. See, and you don't push against it, but y'all see how she's done this beautifully from the tube aspect of the securing the perimeter. Now, in an airplane, when you shut that damn door, it's pretty much done until FAA say okay, huh?
Yeah.
When you say tube, you're talking about Sue's tube, or is there a tube in the vacuum or a black hole metaphor?
And her body.
The tube as the skin of my body and the skin of the airplane, as in aluminium.
Right, nothing to do with the black hole, singularity, event horizon.
Correct. And it could, it could.
Okay, are you finished? We're going to go back to Barbara, so Barbara can figure out what's this got to do with her, because we do the fine line between a private reading and this group involvement, Sue.
No, this applied for the event horizon in Revelation.
Is that what Barbara comment?
I said it's very good. This is all working example.
Okay.
Yeah. So Ion was just saying the tube aspect was about securing the perimeter.
Two.
Did you want to continue talking about that aspect, securing the perimeter?
Well, securing the perimeter is what the position is all about. And that started when you got a garage full of crap.
Hmm.
No business that's to be dealt with, just as it lays out in Revelation. See, you got four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
They deal with different aspects of the same outcome. You got four categories of stuff to work through,
mm-hmm.
compartmentalizing. You know those, and that would be private session stuff, but
right.
if we just say four, that's easy for you.
Okay.
Once that's all cleared, then there's no breach or pressurization issue.
Oh, wonderful.
But take a brick and knock the hell out of the window in an airplane at 30,000 feet.
Right.
And you'll see what depressurized means.
Yeah. It's called sucked out of the plane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, so now you've divided it and you categorized it. You got four areas, four horsemen. Mm-hmm. The horsemen, you can read it to detail, or you could imagine in Revelation Rehab, you might actually even ask, would that be novel? But that's okay. Four horsemen go four specific areas, and they deal with four specific things.
Mm.
Bam. There you go. Now you've identified the things that they are. So now moving those to the event horizon is a piece of cake. Because Steve's point, which is valid, earlier was, Ion, I can move it to the event horizon, but I don't even know which one I prefer. And we say, good, move it to the event horizon, and then it can be included in your singularity. As he said, he was playing each card and taking the card as the came from the shoe. He wasn't trying
to... You said Steve. You mean Sheldon, or were you saying Steve at that point a minute ago and meant Steve?
Steve playing blackjack today and made $125, Steve.
That's Sheldon. That's Sheldon.
That was Sheldon.
Where's Steve?
I'm here. That was Sheldon playing cards. I played the horses.
Yes, but you were having conversation before that applied. We were talking to you. He made the reference, but we were talking to you.
Okay.
Yes?
Yeah.
Because you were trying to figure out how to apply that, right?
Right.
Well, we want to be clear as mud,
mm-hmm.
but good. All right. So that place, or how you pick a horse, or as Sheldon had an outcome that suited him, it did... But he didn't win every hand, did you?
No.
But $5 a hand up $125, not playing long, that's pretty cool.
But, yeah, wasn't I, like, the cards I didn't want moving to my event horizon?
That's a great question.
Well, it is a great question. Okay, if you'd have done that exactly, you'd have won every single hand without fail or exception. And we agree they wouldn't let you play long if you win every single hand, will they?
Yeah, but was I maybe just experiencing that maybe for my first time, like in that situation?
No. You were there playing not to make some money. You were there playing for fun.
Right.
And if you won a little or lost a little, it was still fun.
Yeah, I was trying to learn how to apply what I'm.
You were taking a trebler and shifting it to an applier.
Right.
So that you could have torque in a torsion perspective. If you'd only calculated the vector, then...
I got to talk to Sasha more about the vector thing, I guess.
That would serve you well. And that's the point. And that's the point. So the parts that you move to the event horizon, the parts you move to the event horizon were the hands that you won.
But the important part was the fact that, that he was having fun playing with the dynamic.
Uh-huh.
And
well, not playing with the dynamic, playing with the shoe. He was
right.
Playing. The game was based on the shoe, but he didn't play the shoe. He played each card.
What's a shoe?
That's where you take a bunch of decks and shuffle them all together and put them in this little block. And the dealer pulls one card off and pulls one card off one at a time. And there's multi-decks to make the odds not suit you well.
Mm.
You can't count cards if you're playing with a six-deck shoe. Right, Sheldon?
Mm.
That's right. And even though I've never practiced counting cards, I did enjoy playing single-deck when I was in Vegas.
Mm, certainly. But we told you that before you did it, so whatever. Well?
Yeah, I mean, I experienced that, I guess.
So. Some of it still left itself in the singularity aspect of it. Good. Okay, that's good.
So is anyone going to pick up on the Four Horsemen issue and ask some questions about the Four Horsemen, bringing it back to Revelations?
The Black Horse was about work and money. God.
Okay, that would apply. Good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, won't have to deunionize. Good.
Yeah.
Pale Horse is about the crown and the bow.
Crown and bow.
Now, does that have to do with authority, Ryan?
Maybe, but in this case, it's more like worthy of wearing the crown.
Four nations.
Mm-hmm.
Getting on the throne.
Qualification. See, worthy is glib. What if we say if you question your qualification of a crown?
Mm.
Good. Okay, keep going.
I remember what the red horse was ages ago. There's the black horse, the pale horse, the red horse. And the rainbow horse.
The rainbow horse. That's nice. That's nice. That's right. That's right. We can find somebody to host a pride parade for the rainbow horse.
Yeah, exactly. It was the ultimate acceptance horse of all everything.
The civil union horse.
Yeah, the one that had, it was a unicorn horse, unicorn rainbow horse with wings. Pegasus.
Okay.
Everything. It was the black horse, the pale horse, the red horse, and anyone remember the last one?
Well, you had a black horse. Did you not have a white horse?
Oh, the white horse. Sorry,
yes, welcome to Revelation Rehab.
Okay,
the white horse, you're doing good. Well, you were, but you're doing good. Go ahead.
Trying to do this without looking at my notes.
You can look. It's all right, honey.
Now,
this is fun. Now, in Revelation, and of course, now we're to the Four Horsemen. This is pretty cool. And then Sue had a question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Barbara had some insight. Different ones have different aspects that you're pulling together. And now Sue asked the question the correct way. Ion, is there a way you can describe the process of identifying my sieving and then the process of a simple way to move it to my event horizon so that I can shift my singularity, which is the outcome of this itchiness.
Mm.
And look here, Susie.
Mm-hmm.
You now, not only did you ask the question, you've gotten somebody in there now that's doing all the damn sorting for you.
With the horses.
Pretty cool, isn't it? Even identifying the things that you would want to move to the event horizon.
Right.
And now we've given different points, pinpoint positions, where you can then focus on those arenas and areas.
Yes.
And that makes it super simple. Because if everything was gone through and you knew what was what, it wouldn't take you a minute to tell what to do with the boxes, would it?
Yeah. Well, right here I've got the red horses killing one another and giving one another a great sword.
Uh-huh.
And the white horse, behold, the white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war.
Uh-huh.
His eyes were as flame of fire, his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself.
Do. That's that qualifier. And you take each aspect of those and see them as a trebler. Then you add an applier. The applier always comes to conclusion, which always, just like Sheldon, always moves it to the event horizon.
Trebler and an applier, and the applier moves it to the event horizon.
You know, a pair of pliers that you use to torque, to gain a grip.
To grip.
Well, you said get a grip. Well, use a pair of pliers. So the applier would grip it.
And the trebler, what's the trebler?
Somebody, y'all, come on.
It stirs it up.
The trebler?
No, trebler, to treble.
Like Bob?
Like in music.
Oh, we wouldn't. No, that'll end in tears. No. Sasha.
Yeah.
We've gone wild over this. Describe trebler.
The trebler is like, it's like the notes in music. It's the...
A treble clef, yes, and another one.
The building of it.
Yes, and to treble would be the spaces, the lines and spaces.
Mm-hmm.
It's what sets that. We would say the trebler would be how you see contrast. The trebler is the way you would sort a contrasting experience. The trebler, in your case here, would be this skin irritation that's only on your hands and your feet or foot.
Right.
Okay. Well, the trebler would define its geographic location. Because the trebler could move it all over your body.
Mm.
Right.
Defines the location, okay.
Well, if you have a treble clef, you're setting which notes to play based on where they are in perspective to the lines and spaces. Mm. Every good boy does fine, F-A-C-E.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was every good boy deserves fudge.
Well, I guess if you're doing that... If you're doing the rainbow horse, you can have fudge packing, I guess.
So when I'm going along the wonderful chart that who put this great chart together with the different trumpets and
That would, if it's the linear one, that would be Jenny Bell.
Okay.
And if it's the colored one, that would be Sasha. Or did you redo Jenny Bell's to make the notes, the updates, Sasha?
I haven't, no.
So
isn't the colored one Sheila's?
There's two colored charts, but I think Sue's talking about Jenny's linear, where she's laid it out. All
no, I know that. And what's the colored one? There's two colored charts?
The angel chart.
Yeah, is that Sasha or Sheila, or both?
Both. Oh, we both did one.
Okay, so we don't know which one Sue's got.
She's got mine, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Sasha, when you talk about the pale horse, that is not the bow and crown. That's the white horse is the bow and the crown.
Yeah, I was just looking at my notes. And I was thinking, too, that the horses apply specifically to the little man. And these are the layers of heaven, the seals. So,
well, this is for Sue. This is a little man question.
Yeah, I understand that. What I'm trying to ask, I guess, is when we laid this out. So the pale horse was actually the there was a reference to Hades and to death and hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, given Sue's example, where she's using these horses as you said the elders were the sifters, so if the elders are the sifters, then the horses would be the contrast.
No, it's just what Sue would use to the horse dealing with death. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If someone has expired around her that she's dealing with, that would go in that compartment.
Okay.
That's what we said. We wanted to compartmentalize it so she'd be able to identify it completely, so she'd know what the hell it is she's moving. That's why her garage isn't cleaned out now.
Yeah, because I've got my father's stuff left over, my grandmother's stuff left over, all kinds of stuff that I'm sort of babysitting.
And there's no problem with it. And there's no problem with it. She just wants closure, and that part affects that horse. So she could compartmentalize in the four areas, so she could move it to the event horizon, so that she could then not have it affect her lumnium skin.
Mm. So the red horse is about killing one another and giving one another a great sword.
Or the wielding of the sword.
Oh, the wielding of the sword. Is that sort of like the mind? The sword is like the mind, judgment.
Okay. If you go into you're going to Ephesus, that's in Revelation. Then let's make this easy. Sasha, please send her what you know about the whole armor of God. Oh, y'all gonna get us started now? You think we was blowing before? You get us in the right crack of Ezekiel. And a little GE Philco, and we'll crank it up here now. You have that whole armor of God, do you not, Sasha?
Yeah, I do. I'll send it to everyone.
That's fine. But if don't nobody else give a shit, whatever. If they want it, let them ask you. No hurt.
Okay.
Well,
put me on the list.
Thanks, Sasha.
See, ain't it wonderful? It's wonderful. See, we all of us human creators are here for your pleasure and benefit, darling. Now, that's the click. That's the coming together. This is what gods do.
Yeah.
From a point that, now see, we didn't say, we said be selfish. Great. But in this being selfish, you find you're very drawn to connect with other one percenters.
Mm-hmm.
It's great fun. Hey, I made some brownies. I have some extra. Come over here. We'll have some. Oh, I got a new tea. I got it somewhere in Bangkok. And it's wonderful. I bring my tea. And then it's just kind of fun. And ain't nobody out. And it becomes interaction.
Yeah.
And if you do it just right, maybe we'll all come over and move those damn boxes for you, honey. That's all we've got left, isn't it?
The big dumpster.
Well, but see, that'll apply to a horse because you can't throw it away until you work it out. You can't just go scare them, throwing away.
So is the event horizon like the big dumpster in the sky?
No, it is not a dumpster.
Okay.
It would be the storage building.
Okay.
That gave you enough room to sort it. Mm. It would give you enough room to sort it. Because remember we said take no action. Don't get shed of anything. You know, sift it to decide. Then you can move it all to the event horizon. Then the correct choice for every article in those things you go through will be to suit you. But until then, of course, it corrupts the tube.
Right. So is the event horizon sort of like the cloud?
No, it is not the cloud. That's our business.
That's what?
That's our business. We created the cloud for a nice, fun little place to play.
Okay.
Well, y'all ain't using it, so, hey.
You got into the whole armor of God with Sue's garage cleaning.
Yes, but it was all about the sword, applying the sword.
Oh, okay.
How the sword applies for the whole armor of God. But it's not just that. There are other applications, because we're talking about the armor of God. Well, Sue's a God, so hails, bales. She ought to know about that.
Mm.
It's very cool. I love the whole armor of God.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was one of Rejoice's triumphs. That's fun. Did Tim come back?
Nope. Did you have John 17:17 as one of your references as the sword of spirit, Ion?
We include it, yes.
Okay. So when Sue was talking about wielding the sword, can you go into that a little bit more? She got.
We'll develop it.
Which horse? That was the red horse. So, let me just see. Yeah.
The red horse killing one another and giving one another a great sword.
Mm-hmm. So, would that be, are you talking about that from the polar opposite perception of a sword? Because it's the red horse is the war authority, and then on the flip side there's the sword of the spirit. We're not obviously talking about the same sword when we're talking about the red horse and the whole armor of God sword. Or is it the reference to the tongue? Because we've had a few definitions of the sword.
Yes, well, all of them apply. And see, that's what Sue will go through. That's what Sue will sift, because we don't want to mess it up.
Because if we were to just take that and look at it, and if there was a red horse, and the... I've got the water's got all over these notes. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So that would be someone like Obama or somebody that has the power of the tongue to, you know, wield their authority all over the earth. You could use that example, right?
It's a stretch, but yeah.
No, I'm just trying to make the connection because you said that it would.
Well, don't make the connection.
Prayer.
That's not gonna see that. That's the point. If you're not careful, you'll get too clever by half, and it just becomes confound. It becomes something else that has to be sorted.
Well, I've got in my notes here, Revelations 1:16, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Would that be an incorrect?
Nope, it'd be right on.
Note for the sword of spirit, so that would that does apply.
Certainly, darling. And
okay.
And your jaw does too, honey. We didn't say it didn't. We just said that it comes to a place to where she needs to sort that to suit it.
Okay. I like the Psalms 119, that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Well, that's her hand and her feet, isn't it?
No, oh, yeah. That is. That is so cool.
And which one was that?
And then 1633 is going to kick in a minute, isn't it?
16. I don't have that one on mine.
And what was the last one you just mentioned about the hands and the feet? Which one was that?
Psalm 119, 105. It's in the email I just sent you.
Oh,
under the sword of spirit.
Okay. Thank you.
Light to my path. That's what we were talking about earlier on, about the salt and light.
Do. That's also, you're kicking in on the ninth gate, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Corso.
Is that why you want us to eat a lot of salt?
No. We want you to engage in a bit of sodium because it'll help balance the formula. Your formula.
Of a pH balance?
No, you're going to become an un-pH.
That's what I mean. The sodium's going to help that process?
Yes. But now you go overboard. Don't go shitting crazy. Just a little bit is enough. If you're going to eat something salty, make sure you put a salt with it. But don't go just killing everything in salt. Because we said have a little extra sodium. You got it? A little is okay. And get away from the iodine. You don't require it. You get enough iodized salt in the prepared foods. Get kosher salt and use that. It's not as salty. And that's good. You're over there in fancy town. You can get them sea salts and all that salt of mer and blah, blah, blah. But we're just saying you don't need to overload in the iodine. You can get enough of that.
Did everybody listen to Genesis yet?
No.
We did.
Yeah, the first one. The first part. Is part two out yet, Bob?
Yeah, it should be ready in a day or so. It's done.
Great. End of the beginning.
Is Steve Jobs really in JW's face?
Yes, he really is.
Trap.
Happily so.
Mm-hmm.
That was his choice. That was the fact.
We didn't say that.
That was JW's choice.
We didn't say that either.
Okay.
Is he listening? Is Steve listening to what's going on here tonight? Is he an interloper?
No.
What about Jerry Hicks?
Okay, what about Jerry Hicks?
Is he listening in on this, these conversations?
No.
Is he at the Guff yet?
No.
Is he in the process of deciding?
We can leave that like that, yeah.
Okay.
So you say that large doses of chemotherapy are not necessary to cure a spider bite. Can you explain a little bit more about Jerry?
That has nothing to do with anything. Here's what it has to do with, because we've got to get this back to Revelation.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let the words of your mouth and the meditations or mediations of your heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Okay? You can't run around all over the place saying, happy, healthy, happy, healthy, happy, healthy, dead, and expect any other outcome.
Right.
So is that what they would say in those seminars? I've never heard that before from the Abrahams.
Oh, yeah, they used to say it all the time, that this is how Esther said she wanted to go, was happy, healthy, happy, healthy, happy, healthy, dead.
Without any tubes running up the nose.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I see. So this is what occurred, tubes up the nose.
Do. And then in that process, it becomes a choice. It was just a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't have to go.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose to. So good, good.
Yeah.
So because they resisted the tubes up the nose, that's what they got? He got?
Well, no, that's not fair. I mean, that's not necessarily the case. Because you're having this conversation like that they were punished or something. And it wasn't that way at all. Jerry was just done and chose to exit stage left.
I guess all of his questions were answered.
Jerry Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
From
Abraham Hicks. What did you ask?
I don't know who Abraham Hicks is. Jerry Hicks.
Jerry and Esther Hicks are a couple who have been channeling an entity called Abraham, and it's
and Theo and Seth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they have become very popular. And the woman who based the video, The Secret, Rhonda
Byrne.
Rhonda Byrne, she based all of her research basically on their material, and then she turned around and demanded that they give her all their intellectual.
No, now,
no?
Slow up, Trigger.
Okay.
Wasn't quite like that, but it was close. They went, she brought all them cameras on the Alaskan cruise.
Right.
That she taped Abraham. Mm-hmm. And got that information, blah, 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 blah. And the point was, the contract was, they were going to tape this and they were going to do a show in Australia.
Right.
And the shit didn't work out because it was a little too far out.
Right.
Okay. So then Rhonda run around and got up chicken poop for the soil and the little preacher man and the and the little, what is the pup tent guy that burns people up in the sinkhole, and then that the dreadlock. Oh, and She-Ro, don't forget She-Ro's and all them different people. Gathered them all up and had them Canfield and all them different people.
Mm-hmm.
And Proctor, and they got them all hooked up and told you how to get your parking space and how to get some females and how to get, what was it you're supposed to get? You're supposed to get stuff. Oh, you get cancer. You got to get cancer so you can vibrationally overthrow it or something. Mm-hmm. Okay, it didn't work. What they agreed to didn't work.
Right.
So they made this little vidya called The Secret.
Right.
And The Secret was all them people. And they just had a little bit of snippet at the tail end with Esther Hicks. Just a teeny, teeny, not a bunch, just a bit.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot more on the goober who was chasing the females than they did on Esther. Okay. Well, they made this video, and the video had to do with the process of they were going to make it available. They sold it. No problem. It wasn't too much of a to-do, but it was okay, but nothing earth-shattering. Well, then all of a sudden, they picked up the marketing side, marketing campaign side, and it started to get going. Well, all of a sudden, when it was not in a television aspect, the rules changed. Jerry and Esther then decided that proprietorially, that was their, quote, life's work.
Right.
And they went after it.
Oh.
Well, Rhonda didn't do nothing but say, sorry, this wasn't what we agreed, and it is a different context now. It's already out on the shelves, blah, 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 blah. And they turned right around and they said, now, wait a second. So Rhonda had no choice but to take the original secret, remove everything that was Abraham,
right,
and made a new movie,
right,
which contained nothing from the Abrahams. Well, what Jerry and Esther said is that everything in The Secret was all theirs.
Oh,
but when they whacked out everything that supposedly was theirs legally, there was still a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Which is becomes kind of odd when you get to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay? Because if that's the case, none of it would have applied. But instead, that wasn't the case at all. Which, of course, then put the spotlight on Jerry and Esther so they could do their own thingy thing.
Right.
And they did, and they did.
And they became very big and very popular anyway.
Book writers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But not really before that.
Mm.
Well, what do you think, Sue?
They had a lot of CDs and tapes out there.
Well, yeah.
Weekly.
Yeah.
Well, was there any merit to the original content?
Yeah, it was a false premise.
Well, there's some things that you say, Ion, that are very similar to things that they say.
There absolutely is.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like a belief is just thought you keep thinking. And
that's exactly correct. But see, those are constructs. That's not a work.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal.
That's just an is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like saying air is just something that you're breathing.
But
well,
did they ever place emphasis on language, on words?
Theirs was all thought. You always get what mm-hmm. you think about whether you want it or not.
Right.
Because
your words say anything, say any crazy thing you want. You only get what you think on.
Because when you were bringing up this happy, happy dead scenario, it was making me think about the end of Genesis, and you were laying out the fact that people don't consider that some words like tequila, which is a noun, is actually a verb.
Right.
And that was really amazing. Very amazing.
Like a
so
tequila.
They didn't get that. So
well, their whole thing was they had this law of attraction.
Right.
That was huge. That was one of the kickers. This law of attraction. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we say it's the unlawful degree of magnetism. Mm. But that's not original. None of that's original to Abraham. If you go back to the Theo and to the Seth, Jane Roberts stuff,
yeah.
and Jerry's famous vibration, Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill from the Amway days,
yeah.
You're going to find none of that was really original.
Yeah.
Without being curt. But we're not talking about originality. He asked if any of it was valid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as valid as Seth was, nobody listened to them either.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever.
Well, I think they were so articulate in such a different new way for a lot of people that this is why they gained so much in popularity.
No, it was because they said the exact same damn thing over and over and over and over and over, and it never moved. It never changed.
Yeah.
They told the same jokes. They laughed the same places. They said it over and over. Abraham said it best. Somebody'd get in the hot seat and they'd say, Abraham. And Abraham would talk and they'd say, I have five questions, or I have a bunch of questions, or I have this. And Abraham would look down their nose at them and say, we have one answer.
Right.
And it pretty much was. Mm-hmm. So once the queue got full, nothing else applied.
Well, when you say that, you know, I mean, they said the law of attraction, and they had a lot of, you know, very simple words in how they described what they were doing.
An oarless boat on a raging stream. Yes,
they had all these different. But when you say the unlawful degree of magnetism, I mean, people just, their eyes gloss over. And
good.
They go, what the hell is that all about? And
yeah.
Is that the reason that you use the words that you do, is to sort of wake people up a little bit more, or
no? That would if you did that, if you got to that place, that would have to assume you're asleep.
Yeah,
you're not.
Well, in order to understand what the unlawful degree of magnetism is, you have to do an awful lot of thinking about it.
No, you don't. We explain it about two damn sentences. You got two magnets. The opposites attract. They don't attract. They become part of a new magnet that has poles further apart.
Right.
That's it.
What's next. Unlawful about it?
It's not a law.
I see. And the degree...
It's not a law. It just is.
Okay.
See, because if it's already unlawful, you can't be accused of breaching it, can you? Right?
That's sort of like having no rules, except there is no rules.
Yeah, and we play with that. We say rule one, there's no rules. Well, rule two, wait a minute now. If there are no rules, how the hell did you get two rules? Well, the second rule is if you forget, see rule one.
Right.
You see? And there you go. It's not some libertine gospel that you're supposed to consider.
Right.
See, the difference with us is we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
We could give a happy crap. We love y'all, but we could give a happy crap.
Mm.
It's for the fun. Bring into yourself, come into your place of power. And if you choose not to, it's okay with us.
Yeah.
You see. And the whole goal, the whole point, we'll move heaven and earth. We would say we already have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. we don't mind that. But the point is as long as you're in the process of becoming or coming into your place of power, we're on it. Mm-hmm. But the second that's not the case, see how it plays out.
Well, do you think a lot of people that sort of clicked into Abraham Hicks are people who would like Ion? Because they're sort of seekers in a way.
They are, yes, but until they begin to be needy. There are many who will come, there's no question, because it's Steve, it's a black hole. It's drawn. You see, there's no question that's the case. But a lot of folks already left because after they'd heard it the first 4,000 times, they could do it better than Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could start the conversation, and Sue could finish Jerry talking about the Book of the Month Club and how he ordered the books, and he got it, and he liked it, and then he didn't, and then he said he was going to send it back, and he did, and they sent it back plus the Book of the Month Club and charged him, and then he's got every book he ever had, and then he sent that back and said, here's every book I ever bought, and they sent all those books back to him and charged him again, and he says, and then they call the lawyers and blah, 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 blah. So he said, we've done the same program. Mm. And everybody giggles, and they says, oh, but that's against the law now. But if you do that, but if you cancel your daily, weekly, monthly, every word every Abraham's ever said, you're going to disappoint Esther's sister and Barbara, the hardest working wait staff in show business. And they'll cry.
That's
pretty much how it goes, Sue.
Pretty well.
Yep.
They just created their own closed market, which fizzled, as they all do.
Well, if we're not pushing against the thing now. We're not saying that. Mm-hmm. We're just answering the question. That's all we've done so far.
Well, they certainly were fun in my life for a long time.
Very good. Because they continued a construct that was outside of your previous knowing place.
Yeah, you mean they expanded me, or they allowed?
No, they didn't expand you. They just said things that you hadn't engaged yet.
Okay.
Or before. It was new.
Yeah, it was new.
Well, it wasn't new, but it was new to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it was appropriate, and it applied until it didn't.
Yeah.
And you've not had anything mean to say about them yet, nor have we.
No. I enjoyed my time with them, actually.
It was very refreshing. Good.
But I must
say, leading edge then.
It was, yes. But it is true, Ion. I feel like I've gone on to... I feel like they were sort of primary school, and you are, like, PhD graduate.
Well, and see that they never moved any further. See,
yeah.
It's same old, same old, same old, same old.
Yeah.
There was never new. There was never new. So then they write the Vortex book, which just takes the daily hiccups and hook them into a format that Jerry crops.
Crops or croaks?
Crops.
Crops.
Cropping it, cutting and pasting.
So was she channeling a collective, or is this stuff from her and Jerry?
We don't get channeling, unless you're talking about the English or the Panama Canal. Oh, wait, no, that's not a channel. That's the Suez. That's a canal. Panama is a canal. Yeah.
Okay,
maybe she was canaling Jane Roberts.
Mm-hmm. Was she accessing a collective with entities?
Well, yes, but then you'd have to ask the question, the defining of a collective, and so then you'd have to go, how much was Norman Vincent Peale and Napoleon Hill and Jerry and the Amway business.
Okay, did she go into a different state of, I can't use the word consciousness. Was she putting on an act and just saying what she, or her?
Well, now what kind of question is that?
Never mind.
Well, think about what you're saying. We could say the same thing about you. We could say, are you sincerely, genuinely engaging the information that we're providing? Or are you just playing house? Well, that's not the case. And even if it were the case, it wouldn't matter, would it?
No, I'm just wondering who this Abraham is then.
Well, it's who, here we go, it's who Esther named it.
Okay.
So was Abraham sort of like a residue hanging around?
No, residue would be original.
So it was coming from the Guff?
They don't even, you got to go by their words. They say there's not one. They say that the Guff is where all your shit that you weren't able to create goes. Unrealized manifestations, right, Sue?
Didn't you say that before?
We said that the you go, but not your stuff.
Right.
Your stuff here. Around as residue. No.
Soul tracks everything that didn't get accomplished.
But see, that's always in the death mode.
And they say that you croak, but there is no death.
Right. But if there is no death and you croak, then there may not be life. But that was Theo's words, wasn't it?
Who's Theo? Theo was...
Before Seth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You got to get up in the morning early. 3-year time. You got to get up early in the morning if you're going to get around us, sugar love.
I know. You are good. You are good. Mm-hmm.
So... Are they non-physical? Theo and Seth and Abraham?
You all are, dear.
So, Esther, do you see Esther continuing this work without her Jerry?
It's up to her.
Yeah. Well, when you mentioned on cash flow that Jerry had made his transition, that I went right away into my email account, and there was a letter from Esther to all of the people that she had been connected to through the Abrahams, and explaining that Jerry had passed.
That he bit the dust last Friday. Well, it wasn't quite then. It was a little before that, but never mind.
So, interesting. You say it, and there it is.
That's what happened to Dow Jones.
Yeah.
This newing is too cool, y'all.
Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of folks that did you notice there was a great separation? They'd allow you to connect, but not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They would allow you to engage, but not.
Whoops, sorry.
Hello.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Just change him phones and it has
yes.
echoey.
Sorry. Had to
it's
go
right,
for a walk around the living room. I was getting too antsy just sitting here for such a long time.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get your little apron on and serve drinks to yourself sometimes, honey? And get your little bring the hot towels around. That's a bitch in first class, isn't it?
Oh yes, that's so fun.
Mm-hmm. You know which one's got the F ticket and which one's got it on miles, don't you, honey?
But if they're really nice in economy, I might bring them a big glass of really nice red wine and wish them happy birthday.
That's nice. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And great fun. Okay. So a needle pulling thread.
Okay, Ion, we've done 5.5 hours, so I think we should end.
We lost Tim, and did Matt Man fall out, or they went to bing, 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 bing when they run out, so maybe they didn't come back.
Right.
So
it's been
good.
A great
night. Happy? All right, now Palmer, did you get anywhere?
Yep.
Good. Okay, all in, all good, all done?
Good.
Yeah. I'm good.
Okie dokie 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 dokie. Very well. Therefore, we're totally deliciously happily and forever and forever and forever and forever. Good morning.
Hi, JW.
Good day.
That's 7 hours.
Seven? What?
No, sorry. 6 hours almost.
5.5 hours was this session. And and then JW talked before, and then 5.5 hours of Ion.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Everybody had fun?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, thank you.
Good. You're welcome. It's great fun. I had fun, too.
Mm-hmm. Bob, I got in good, done. All in, all good, all done.
Oh, yeah. Good.
What, you said that? You said you got that in?
No, I was listening to Ion, and it was in good, done.
Yeah, it's GD. It's not alpha DG. It's not D, it's GD.
Yeah.
It's all in, all good, G first, and then all done. Yeah, I heard that recently. I memorized it. G before D. Which makes
except
sense.
After,
you know, if you said
except,
all done, all
except,
good.
Except after C.
Yeah.
Mm. Or is it after C? Yeah. Right.
That was all in, all good, in good, done?
Yeah, all in is how Ion ended sessions with. All in, all good, all done.
Okay.
I was joking with Bob, Sue, because when he started saying that he was going to do Bob readings, and then when I was chatting to Bob, he's like, okay, I'm going now, and then I was saying, so we couldn't get it right. I was going, well, good, all in, all done. So, that's how Bob's going to finish his readings now.
Yeah.
Well, maybe adapt it.
Sasha, you I did it during cash flow today, didn't I? I did. I made a joke like, 10 minutes into the show, I go, all in, all good, all done.
And here's what the hell of that was, is Ion almost went out.
Yeah, we had to catch him. We had to haul him back in.
It's like, it's very, very responsive, you know.
It's like the hypnotic command that Ion will obey.
Maybe.
We were just talking about the Hickses, J.W.
Oh, the, yeah, is Jerry. Jerry Hicks, right?
Yeah.
Well, Sue, you knew them, right?
Yeah, I did. I listened to their stuff every week since 1995, right up until I canceled out in August.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you have been to their sessions also, right?
I have.
Well, Sue, did you know them well enough in the early years to have dinner with them and that?
Yeah, well, I received a personal letter from them, and I used to send them down some stuff. Like the year 2000, I sent them those crazy glasses that were neon pink and neon blue, you know, with 2000 across the front. It was very funky, and they thought that was really great. You know, stuff like that. So they always remembered me, but...
Well, when you went 95, did they have a big audience then, as much as they did in 2008, say?
I think when I first started going, there was probably like 100 people in the audience, maybe, and then they started getting more and more popular, and I went on a cruise with them for 10 days in the Western Mediterranean, and there was about 600 people on that cruise, I think.
Yeah, because I saw footage of a room, maybe that documentary on them. And there might have been 120 people in a room.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I think it's out of JW's in 2007. So it wasn't that big of a crowd. So that might have been on a boat.
Yeah, depending on where they were. Yeah. But there were 600 people definitely in the audience when they were on the boats, ships, you know.
Well, they became good friends of JW. They like JW.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And did you like them, JW?
Yeah, I guess you went away.
Oh, I was much more partial to Esther than Jerry.
Uh-huh.
Can you say why?
I don't know. The persona is very, very, very different.
Yeah, was it because Jerry was the manipulator? He was the guy creating the hoax. He was the real programmer, the control freak. And she's just a zombie, what do you call that, a Pygmalion. You want to get crude? You want to get truthful about Ion, about what Ion says about them?
I think it was Esther is a little
warmer
if she likes you.
Yeah.
Because, see, Jerry will talk to anybody. I mean, that didn't matter. But if Esther talked to you, she cared what you had to say.
Yeah.
Is that I don't want to be disparaging or not fair. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. And Jerry was a little bit more stiff and cooler towards people, that's for sure. More private.
Well, talking with Ion after the show today, he said Jerry was about 100 years old. But they say 89, 90, 91 in the wiki level.
Well, they apparently don't know either then, do they?
Mm. Yeah, not exactly. So he looked pretty good.
Yeah. And Esther's quite a bit younger than him, I think. I don't know if it was 20 years younger.
38. See, that was the thing. Ion said she was 38 years younger. So then I figured it out. Holy cow, he has to be 100 now. Now, I don't know if Ion was right, but I said, well, they say he's only 90 now. And Ion said, oh, they don't know what they're talking about.
Well, and you're quoting he was 89, 90, 91, 92, apparently.
Yeah, they didn't know precisely. They don't list his birthday in the wiki.
Or anywhere.
Right.
You could ask one of his ex-wives.
Yeah, that's what Ion said. The reason he looked pretty young for 100, he said because he had so many wives.
No, Ion said
would
he
say
had
that makes
what,
them
five?
Look older.
He said he
five
had
wives.
Five.
Yeah, five wives, yeah. What'd you say, Sue?
No, that was
or Sasha.
Oh, I just said a lot of men would say that would make them look older. But five wives at the same time? Or
No.
No,
just,
I think they were spread out over a centenarian.
How many wives did he have?
Five.
Five.
Wow.
Or at least that's what Esther would say. She said that's all. Those are all that she knew about.
Yeah.
I knew Bob Dobbs, and Jerry Hicks is no Bob Dobbs.
And apparently, he didn't prescribe to Club 22 either, did he, Bob?
No. In the early days, J.W. woke up and he was at a meeting with the Evergreens, the Abraham, maybe Seth, and Ion. And like J.W. remembered that they all talked. They were like in a panel, each giving. Somebody asked a question, maybe J.W. did, and they all gave their different. Party line, and it seemed to fit whatever was recorded. You know, the Abraham said their thing, the Evergreen said their thing, but so apparently they were introduced to each other. Oh yeah, and I said Jerry and Bob. JW reports, I guess, when he woke up from it. Maybe Ian said it, but. Whoever said that Jerry and Bob were off on the sideline comparing notes on how to run sessions.
Well, it's certainly going to make a great shift now because you're going to have to see what Esther's going to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be like, well, now you're going to know. And if it is, then it'll work seamlessly and fine and no problem. And if it's anything other than that, you'll know in about 2.3 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess Revelation chapter 17 must apply then.
Going to look that up right now.
Thanks, Sue. I'm going, 17. It was Brian when we need him. 17, verse 5, line 3, this word.
Oh, I've got all my chapter 23s. Okay.
Y'all Canucks, y'all ain't got no Turkey Day tomorrow.
Oh, right.
No, I have Turkey
That's Day. Next month, according to Carolyn. That was so funny. We Canadians have Thanksgiving later than you Americans. No, Carolyn, we have it a month, 2 weeks before.
I tuned out right when I got blipped off. I got my 6 or 7 hours. JW said, we'll know in 2.2 days, weeks,
2.3 seconds.
2.2 seconds whether Esther can keep it going.
And then he said Revelation 17.
Wait, anybody there?
Yeah.
I'm screwing up here. Then he said, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Why is it so weak? They said in Galatians something?
Revelation 17.
J.W. did. Gave a chapter verse for Esther.
Just the whole chapter.
Right. About Esther.
I must have hit the magic number then. It throwed me out.
Yeah. So you were
saying. Sorry. I missed
okay.
all that.
Yeah, so 2.2 Galatians. 2.2 seconds, and then in Revelations about Esther. And then when I came on, you were saying that Bob was correcting Carolyn about the Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving?
Oh, no. JW was just saying that Thanksgiving, that's where everyone's going because there's no Turkey Day.
No, no. I was making reference that y'all are Canadians. That's why you're hanging out, is you don't have Turkey Day tomorrow.
Right. Or we're hanging out because we can sleep in, or Sasha and them can sleep in because there is. They are having Turkey Day.
I've got to take a friend to the hospital in the morning.
You're not sleeping in. So then what was said?
That's it.
You were just waiting for... No, but you were joking about Carolyn saying it's in a month or something.
Oh, no, that was just funny on cash flow today where Carolyn was like, oh, let's have Thanksgiving. We Canadians, we do Thanksgiving next month. And you were like, no, Carolyn, we did it. It was a few weeks ago for Canadians.
I said that, right?
No, yeah. Bob said he was last week, but he says, I don't know. I don't give thanks. I don't thankful
something
for
like
nothing.
That.
Who said that? I just want to get it straight. Oh,
you
I said all that?
Yeah, you said I don't
I remember
that.
Correcting Carolyn. Did I do that, Sasha, in your mind?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I said, I don't give thanks?
Yeah, I said, I don't give thanks. I ain't thankful for nothing. And you made some slur and remark about everybody was some kind of whore bitch or something. And then you ran back around and said, see, I told you I didn't ever give thanks. I ain't thankful for nothing. Now, whoop the man that says it isn't so. Now, see, girls, this is great fun. We can do this to Bob, and he laughs because he's never sure if he really did that or not.
Yeah, that's right.
It's great. He's fun at parties, y'all.
Yep. I have no fear of being humiliated because I can't remember.
You're like the drunk guy with amnesia, except you're not drunk.
Yeah, what am I? I'm the guy, not the guy at the lampshade.
Foster Brooks.
Am I the guy at the lampshade that just doesn't remember it the next day?
That's what
No, you're Foster
about.
Brooks. You just play drunk, Bob.
Yeah, I just fake it.
Alcohol-induced amnesia without the alcohol.
I do conscious partying, like conscious mediumship. I do counterintuitive stuff.
You think?
I don't know. I got to take a break for a second. I gotta dismiss Carolyn. I got to take her out of. She's in trance.
Oh, good. And she took on the still beating heart of Jerry Hicks. Oh no, it's probably five.
The beating heart of Jerry Hicks. What's that mean?
The still beat taken on. You said she's in trance. And had she taken on the still beating heart of Jerry Hicks?
Okay.
Good night.
She can't hear.
I just came back in, and you guys are leaving.
No, we were putting Carolyn to bed.
Oh.
So is Steve still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is Sheldon?
Yeah, I'm still here.
See, that's
Yay.
Pretty good. And then we lost Tim and Barbara and Matt.
Sure.
Oh, Barbara's still here?
So I want to know how it went. What is Bob carrying on about something cups? King of Cups or Pump?
Red
Pump
Solo
Cup.
That's a Toby Keith song.
Red Solo Cup. Okay.
Yeah.
And why were you taking on about playing it or something? You didn't like it, something?
Oh, okay. So you don't remember Castle too much.
No, I do. I just know something about that there was the Red Solo Cup, and then and Fred kissed my ass, but you were making some big to-do about it, and that's what I didn't know.
Yeah. No, this is so here's what happened. I talked to James. He left a message. This is interesting, so you guys can hear the exclusive. James left a message that said that was the most astounding show he ever heard, and he had to talk about it. So we get talking about it. And remember James blips out for 20 seconds? He kind of disappears, and then he comes back. He says, oh, I was gone. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he blipped out. Well, he Ion was talking about something, and James was, he knew something about it, and he was going to speak it. And Ion did not want him to speak, and he knew what James was going to say, and James knows that Ion knocked out his microphone. Okay, or whatever, knocked it out. And he knew Ion did it. And he was just amazed at the digital power of Ion. And then we were talking about all the other stuff Ion was doing during the show. And one of them was at the top of, I guess that would be going into the third hour, the commercials come on, and then you start hearing Red Solo Cup.
And Ion is not fond of the vernacular with a red tapestry pillow and come on.
Right, right. He does not like it.
Get a dishonest uptown reading.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And you get a section of time. You give her 15 minutes. She gives you 15-minute section of time. So anyway,
two readings for the price of one. Yes.
Okay, so here's what happened. So Red Solo Cops breaks the contract. You assume, you know, you don't want to mess with people's commercials. They get time in other people's shows. So this is interrupting all the commercials. And I'm wondering, did Bill hit this by accident? But then he should be able to stop it. So it goes the whole song. And then I noticed that I untimed it so that when the song interrupting the commercials ended, it then had the perfect point to then do its 3-minute repeat of the song. See, it ended right when the commercials ended, so it was ready to start up again in the official playing of it, right? So it started it during the commercial so that it would start, it would run its 3-minute course and then be ready to be right on time to be when it should be played, right? So that's pretty good timing. So he orchestrated that, it seemed to me. And then that got played and a bunch of other stuff. So James and I were talking about this, and James pointed out that during the House Gagas, no, maybe he didn't join us, James, but maybe Ion did, that during House Gagas, Bill came into us, to me and Carolyn, and Ion, he can do that, he can come into us, and you guys are listening to the to Sheila and that, and said, Bob, what's going on with your computer? You know, how come you can't click on the effects and have them play? And I said, I don't know. Everything's all hooked up here. I'm clicking and it's not working. And I had said during the show that Ion might be doing it. I don't know if anybody heard this. But Bill's saying that never happened before. That's never been a problem. And, yeah, then I might have mumbled, oh, Ion's doing it. So Bill said, well, Ion, would you stop doing that? And I don't know how strongly he said it. But Ion told me to go get the recording, our own recording, and I can find out how strongly. Ion then explained to me that he objected to Bill telling him what to do, and that's why he did the Red Solo Cup. He was reacting to Bill trying to tell Ion something. So I'm telling this all to James. And James just hits him how this pterodactyl is awesome. Is like he really got something about what's going on. So without going into the details, he really James is right up.
There's more details than what you've already laid out, Bob. We can't.
Well,
imagine.
About you can't what tension? What was that last word? Tension.
Can't imagine.
The point is how he expressed what he. I think James is caught up to Carol and I, in being amazed at what Ion is. He got something today. I mean, maybe he'll talk about it someday. But I don't want to say the words or how to get into it